Time now to take a look at the international newspapers. Liam McGuinn joins us for that. And Liam, we're going to start with what is, in fact, our top story here this Monday morning, this emergency summit, if you like, of European leaders in Paris.
Unsurprisingly, making the front page of just about every newspaper in Europe this morning as European leaders deal with the fact that the United States will hold peace talks with Russia, but without Europe and Ukraine. Here in France, Le Figaro have the headline, Europe looks for a response. They say that the American president is speeding up the dismantling of the international order. On the front pages in Germany too, Der Tagesspiegel have the headline, playing with fire, accusing Europe of being short-sighted because without the United States, Europe's armies have nothing to counter Russia. For too long, defensive capabilities have been taken too lightly, they say, unsurprisingly making most of the front pages in the UK this morning. The Financial Times predicting a potentially decisive week for European security. The Telegraph have a quote from Prime Minister Keir Starmer on their front page. I'm ready to put troops in Ukraine. This comes from an exclusive piece in the Telegraph this morning. Keir Starmer writing this column in the Telegraph this morning. It's the first time he's explicitly said he's considering deploying British peacekeepers to Ukraine. He also wrote that the UK is ready to accelerate work on security guarantees for Ukraine. This includes further support to Ukraine's military, where the UK has already committed £3 billion a year until at least 2030. I'll finish with a piece in the Times. They tell us to all chill out. Everything's going to be okay. This opinion piece remarks that Putin is no Hitler, Trump is no Chamberlain, and Zelensky is no angel. Sooner or later, a deal over Ukraine must be made, and Europe would do best to back the United States, this piece says, finishing by saying that Russia is only a nuisance and China is the only real threat to Western civilization.
Okay, that's how the European newspapers see it, Leo. What about the other side of the Atlantic?
Well, the New York Times tell us that Putin has long wanted more power in Europe and Trump could be the man to grant him that wish. Talks between the US Secretary of State Pete Hegseth and the Russian Foreign Minister are due to take place later this week in Saudi Arabia. And the New York Times say a shift from the US to align themselves with Russia and discard Europe would give Putin a previously momentous and unthinkable victory. The Wall Street Journal point out that the European leaders knew that their relationship with the second Trump administration would be challenging, but maybe not this challenging so early on. The piece notes that a US withdrawal from Europe would be a mistake and damaging to American interests, but Europe is on notice and they need an economic revival as well as greater investment in their own defences. I'll flip the page and finish in China with the Global Times, which is a tabloid owned by the government. They say that China and Europe should jointly write a new narrative for a multipolar world, making the most to insert themselves in the gap left by the USA. They tell us that China is firmly committed to being a constructive force for peace in Europe, which holds great significance for the continent. They end by saying that further cooperation between the two could only be beneficial in building an international order.
Staying with China, Leo, articles coming out about how Google worked with the Chinese government to censor articles.
It's not only China, it's Russia as well as many other autocratic regimes around the world. It's actually a two-page spread that was published in yesterday's Observer, which is The Guardian's Sunday sister newspaper, revealing that Google have facilitated censorship requests from all over the world. The tech company has engaged with about 150 countries since 2011 that want information scrubbed from public domains. Analysis by The Observer has revealed a vague process for removing content and incomplete data, which they say raises questions about Google's role in controlling public information. In Russia and China, Google has removed YouTube videos of anti-state protesters, as well as content that criticizes politicians or alleges corruption. Over the past 4 years, Russia has accounted for 60% of those takedowns. There's actually a really interesting bit in this about articles that Russia tried to get censored and failed. In 2022, Russia unsuccessfully sought the removal of 600 domestic links related to the Chinese president. The links include the Wikipedia page on Xi Jinping in seven languages, as well as news articles about him in The Economist and The New York Times and France 24, would you believe it? Google declined to remove them at the time, however, because they weren't given enough information. But this piece says that the lack of transparency raises serious concerns moving forward.
Finally, Leo, you've picked up on a tourism campaign by the New Zealand Tourist Board that's, well, it's succeeded in getting a lot of attention.
Hey, no publicity is bad publicity, right, is what they say. We'll see about this one, because when you spend $500,000 on a new tourism campaign, you want it to make an impact. This definitely has in New Zealand, but maybe for the wrong reasons. As you can see in the New Zealand Herald, which is the country's biggest newspaper, the campaign has been widely ridiculed. In particular, the slogan that you can see here, "Everyone must go." It's been likened to a clearance sale or a desperate plea for access to the toilet. The campaign is the latest in the government's attempt to attract tourists to boost the economy, because prior to the pandemic, tourism was New Zealand's largest export. But the campaign has been criticised as tone deaf amid widespread public service cuts. Many have said the tagline is tactless, sounding like a directive to New Zealanders to leave the country amid record departure rates. Although, I have to add, Eve, I lived in New Zealand for a few years and I do agree that everyone should go at some point, but maybe they could have phrased it slightly better.
I have to say, I read it as get out as well. Everybody has to get out. Leo McGuinn, thanks a lot for that look at the international papers.